Romans chapter 2. I want to begin reading at verse 1 because we want to pick up at the context where we ended last Wednesday evening, about verse 12 and 13. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Remember, in this context, Paul is speaking to the Jews. He addresses the Jew here first as old man. It's just a figure of speech. We refer to it as an apostrophe. That's the kind of figure of speech it is. And you say, well, why is it called an apostrophe? Well, you know, we write some words and we put an apostrophe in the word, like cannot. A little apostrophe takes the place of letters that are not written. So the person is not present whom Paul is speaking to, but he's just addressed. And so it's a figure of speech, apostrophe. We see him identified later on in the context in verse 17 as the Jew. As a matter of fact, a boastful Jew, one who glories in the fact that he's a Jew and he has the law of Moses and other things as well. Chapter 2 of the book of Romans, verse 1 in the New King James Version. Therefore, you're inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourselves, for you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you're treasuring up for yourselves wrath and the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, by nature do the things contained in the law, these although, not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. In our study last Wednesday evening, we had noted that when verse 12 ends, if you're reading from the King James or the New King James, you notice there's a parenthesis around verse 13 through verse 15. That is a parenthetical statement. That is a thought that is expressed at the end of verse 12, jumps to verse 16, and the thought picks up again. This is where we ended in our study. Let's just read verse 12 and verse 16 again. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. Of course, those who have sinned without law are the Gentiles in the context. They will perish without law. The law, of course, under consideration is the law of Moses. The Gentiles did not have a written and codified revelation that had been given to them by God. The Jews did. And they are the ones who sinned in the law. They will be judged by the law. Verse 16. And this judgment will take place in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. We want to go back now to verse 13 through verse 15 and look at that parenthetical statement. Because in this section of text, we're going to see that what Paul deals with in these verses that's set off by the parentheses is he's going to explain how God will deal with the Gentiles because they do not have law. They do not have a written and codified law like the law of Moses. So the first thing that would come to the Jews' mind in verse 12 is, well, what about the Gentile? He doesn't have a written and codified law. We're going to be judged by the things contained in the law, but what about the Gentiles? And so Paul is going to address that in this parenthetical statement. Beginning in verse 13, you note, it begins with the word for there. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For not the hearers of the law. The law under consideration, of course, is the law of Moses, as we've seen in the previous context. But note this, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God. Just meaning upright, righteous, uncondemned before God. I had a lesson this past Lord's Day morning, justified by His blood, that is, by the blood of Jesus Christ. When one is justified, he's pronounced or declared righteous. So, here in verse 13 of Romans 2, not the hearers of the law are just, that is, justified in the sight of God. They're not just, they're not righteous, and they're not pleasing to God. Note this, but the doers of the law will be justified. They'll be pronounced righteous. They'll be declared righteous. They'll be acceptable to God. Now, I don't know when you read this statement in your study, if you thought of some other place in the New Testament where this is taught. Does anybody think real quickly?
I just had a question. Mm-hmm.
No. Remember, there was a patriarchal period when God spoke directly to man without a written and codified law. That was from the time of Adam and Eve.
Those two, Moses will be judged
under. Right. Up to the time that Moses and Mount Sinai, and then the law was given. Okay. You see, that patriarchal time period, God spoke directly to man, like to Abraham and his descendants after him. Up to the point that Moses received the law at Mount Sinai. But it was only to the Hebrew or Jewish people that law was given. It wasn't given to the Gentile people, but only to that nation of people. So that's how far back the law of Moses goes. So somebody is under a law in our context. It's the Gentiles who are under a law, but they didn't have a written and codified law. Even after the law of Moses was given, there were Gentile nations like the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and so forth. They're going to be judged come the day of judgment based on what law? Well, that's what's being dealt with here. Romans 2 again in verse 13, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Does that not remind you of what James said in James 1, 22 through 25? But be doers of the word and not hearers only deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. So very similar, of course, James is writing to Christians. Well, Paul is too. He's writing to the saints at Rome. But Paul has in mind here the law of Moses and not the law of Christ. In James 1 and verse 22, it's the law of Christ, the law of liberty that is under consideration. So not the hearers of the law of Moses are justified in the sight of God. Who's the hearer of the law of Moses? Well, in the context, it's the Jew. It's the boastful Jew. It's a Jew who prides himself in the fact that he belongs to the Jewish nation and they have a national God, Elohim, Yahweh, and they've been given a written and codified law. They're different from all other nations around about them. And so, not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God. The prideful and boastful Jew, the old man that began the context with, he's the one under consideration. He's just simply a hearer of the law. He doesn't do what the law requires. Now, though he may do some of the things the law requires, he doesn't do all that the law requires. And that's what's being mentioned here. But the doers of the law will be justified. We're also going to notice here in the next couple of verses that even though the Gentiles do not have this written and codified law, like the law of Moses, nonetheless they do the things contained in the law. And they become a law to themselves. Note the very next phrase in verse 14, very next statement. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these although not having the law are a law to themselves. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law, they do not have the law. What law do they not have? They don't have the law of Moses. They don't have the written and codified revelation that was given to man. That's the law that they do not have. But note this, by nature the Gentiles do the things in the law. By nature they do the things in the law. Now, you don't live in the state of Alabama, and Alabama has a lot of laws on the book. But believe it or not, you do some of the things contained in the laws in the state of Alabama, you do them naturally anyway, even though you don't even know their law. How was it that the Gentiles, by nature, did the things contained in the law of Moses? Well, remember, God had given them revelation. What's the first kind of revelation He had given them? We studied it back in chapter 1. We called it what kind of revelation? Not special revelation. He didn't give them direct revelation and written and codified, but He gave them what in creation? Natural revelation. So they could look upon God's creation and know that God exists, that there's a divine creator. And since they could look upon natural creation and receive that natural revelation from God and know that there's a divine creator, they know that that stone image they set up or that wooden image they set up can't be God, because they know that it's just a corruptible object.
But they set it up anyway.
But they set it up anyway, yes. But my point here is they could see that there was a divine creator. And so they would know that setting up a wooden image or a stone image is idolatrous worship. There would be some Gentiles who would know that it would be wrong to worship a piece of wood or a piece of stone. Now, not all Gentiles would know that. But some Gentiles, by nature, would do the things contained in the law. What did the law require? The law condemned idolatry. It condemned making images of God. And so, they did the things contained in the law, and they did it by nature. You know, generally, as we raise our children, and they do not know the laws of the land, they know that some things are just wrong in and of themselves. They know it would be wrong to harm another. They know it would be wrong to take the life of another. They know it would be wrong to steal from another. Those are things that the law would condemn, the law of Moses condemned, but by nature the Gentiles knew these things as well. And that's what it means here. For when the Gentiles, who do not have the law, they didn't have the written and codified law of Moses, by nature they did the things in the law. They did some of the things in the law. Doesn't mean they did all of the things in the law, but they just did some of the things in the law. Now note this, by nature they do the things in the law. They practice the things that are in the law. And these, although not having the law, these Gentiles, although not having the law of Moses, this written and codified law, note this, are a law to themselves. That is, them knowing right from wrong, them being able to know what they ought to do or ought not to do, it became a law to themselves. Remember, a law is a rule that governs their life. And so they did the things contained in the law of Moses, although they didn't have it. Now again, they didn't do all the things contained in the law of Moses. But remember, in this context, he's speaking about the judgment of both Jew and Gentile. The Jew's going to be judged according to the law of Moses. The Gentile's going to be judged according to the law that governed his life. Verse 15, Romans 2. Note this, who, and that word who, points back to the Gentiles who do the things in the law, who show the work of the law written in their hearts. They show the work of the law. The word show here means they demonstrate. They demonstrate. Show, prove, whether by argument or by action. These Gentiles demonstrate or prove by their actions that the works of the law of Moses, and that is what the law requires or demands, is the conviction of their heart. And thus it's written on their heart. Literally, no, written in their mind. Metaphorically, it's as if the law of Moses was written in their mind. They didn't have the law of Moses, but they did some of the things contained in the law of Moses anyway, and it's as if that law was written in their mind. The hearts here put for the mind. So who show the work of the law written in their hearts? Note this, continuing with the Gentiles, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or excusing them. Their conscience also bearing witness. Conscience literally meaning a knowing together with oneself. We know what our conscience is. Our conscience bothers us when we do that which we know is wrong. We can't pillow our head at night. We toss and turn because we know we're not right, perhaps with God, because of something we've done wrong. Our conscience is bothering us. When we do that which is right, our conscience doesn't bother us. It doesn't disturb us. And so their conscience, that is the conscience of the Gentiles. Why? Because they knew right from wrong, basically. Again, they didn't do everything contained in the law, but they did some of the things contained in the law of Moses. Their conscience also bearing witness. That is, their conscience testified against them. When they did that which was wrong, it testified against them. It bothered them. When they did that which was right, it approved of what they did. And between themselves, note this, between themselves, their thoughts accusing or excusing them. We have two things here, between themselves, between their thoughts and their conscience. Between their thoughts and their conscience, accusing or excusing them. Their thoughts is their thinking. Remember, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, that is in their minds. So the thoughts in the latter portion of the verse goes back to the hearts or the mind here. It's the thinking, the intellectual part of the Gentile. The Gentile takes the life of one unnecessarily. He kills one and his conscience bothers him. He knew it was wrong. He was thinking all the time, I shouldn't do this, but he did it anyway. And his conscience bothered him. And so that's the thought, the between themselves. That's not between two individuals. This is his mind and his conscience working together, either accusing him or excusing him in his behavior or his conduct. Or does anyone have questions on verse 14 and 15? All right, that's the parenthetical statement. How's the Jew going to be judged? He's going to be judged based upon his doing of the law of Moses. Back to verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law will also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. So the Jew's going to be judged by or through the means of the law of Moses. The Gentile's going to be judged based upon the law that rules his heart. Even though he did some of the things contained in the law of Moses. Verse 17, Romans 2 and verse 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God. Let's read a few verses. And know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law. And are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You, therefore, who teach another, do you not teach yourselves? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say, do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. So verse 17, Romans 2. Indeed, you're called a Jew. Indeed, translated behold in the King James Version, means to look, listen, pay attention to. But if you're reading from the English Standard Version, American Standard Bible, but if, some versions simply say, now you. The word in the Greek, translated indeed or behold, is just a prompter of attention. It draws attention to the fact that indeed you are called a Jew. You're called a Jew. And note that word called. That's the first verb in this verse here. And there's going to be seven more verbs to follow. This is going to be used by Paul as kind of a rhetorical device to draw attention to the prideful and boastful Jew on this occasion. He says, indeed, you're called a Jew. The next verb is you rest on the law. The next verb is you make your boast in God. And we'll see the others to follow. But you're called a Jew. Of course, this makes clear that Paul is speaking in regard to the Jew all the way back from chapter 2 and verse 1. Remember where it started out, old man. So here the Jew is actually under consideration throughout that whole chapter. Called, that is, they call themselves a Jew. They identify themselves. They regard themselves as Jews. Indeed, you're called a Jew. They put a great deal of pride in the fact that they were called Jews. What's the significance of being called a Jew? What's so great about being called a Jew? Remember, a Jew originally was one who was of the tribe of Judah. But when the kingdom of God split, the northern 10 tribes went away into apostasy. There was only Judah and Benjamin left. And some from the remaining tribes that went away into apostasy still stayed there in the area. And everyone who stayed there in the area was known as the kingdom of Judah. All others who went away was known as the kingdom of Israel. And so anyone who belonged to the kingdom of Judah after the divided kingdom came into existence was called a Jew. Now, later on, by the time we come to the New Testament, did not matter what tribe you were from, if you were a descendant of Jacob, a descendant of Israel, you were referred to as a Jew. Now, there was great significance attached to the fact that one was referred to as a Jew. Because the Jew thought himself as the people of God, and indeed he was. The Jew also considered himself as having the only true God to rule and reign over their nation. So, indeed, you're called a Jew. So, they referred to themselves as Jews. They liked to be known as Jews. They liked to call themselves Jews. And so here Paul sets forth this, first of all, the pride that they have in the fact that they're just called Jews. Their nationality, their religion, their ethnic origin is all bound up in the fact that they're Jewish. Note this, and rest on the law. Rest means to rely on, depend on, put one's trust in. So not only are they a Jew, not only do they nationally, religiously, and ethnically Jews, they rest or depend on the law. They put their trust in the law. That is the law of Moses. So the Jews apparently thought that the mere possession of the law and the knowledge of it would guarantee them salvation. They put a great deal of trust in the fact that God had given them the law. He hadn't given it to any other nation. He gave it to them as the Jewish people. It's like some Christians today. They have the truth, and they think the mere possession of the truth is going to save them. But the mere possession of the law for the Jew didn't save the Jew. Remember, the one who is justified is a doer of the law, not just a possessor of the law, not just a hearer of the law. Note the third verb, and make your boast in God. Make your boast in God. Brag about, rejoice in, glory in God. That is the knowledge of God, the relationship that you have with God. his favors and blessings upon the nation of the Jews. So the Jews relied upon being part of a nation of whom God, you might say, was the exclusive father, the exclusive protector. They saw Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah, they saw him as a national God. We mentioned some of that on Sunday evening in our lesson. Some people conceive of God as being a national God. That's the way the Jews saw Jehovah, Yahweh, their God. But he wasn't the God of other nations. So they put a lot of pride in this. They gloried in this. They elevated themselves in the fact that they were Jews, put their trust in the law of Moses, and boasted in God as their God. But it goes on. We have a fourth verb, and know his will. So they know his will. They're acquainted with his will. His will that has been revealed to them in the law. So they know it. They have a knowledge of it. They know what he desires, what he wills. Not only that, we have a fifth verb, and approve the things that are excellent. Approve means to hold to, judge fit and proper. Excellent means to be more valuable than, be worth more than, be superior, be excellent. So they approve the things that are excellent. That is, by the law, the Jew boasted that he knew and approved what was superior and moral ethically among men. That is, they had been given a written and codified law so they could approve. They could judge fit and proper in regard to moral behavior among men. They could approve the things that are excellent, the things that are superior. How could they do that? Because they had the law. No other nation had it. So if they wanted to know what was approved in God's sight, what was superior and excellent among men in regard to moral virtues, they just look in their law. They had all of that. They prided themselves in that. And they know his will and approve the things that are excellent. Note this, the sixth verb, being instructed out of the law. Being instructed out of the law. Instructed here means orally instructed. That is, to teach orally. That is, when they went to the synagogue every Sabbath day, they were instructed. The law to them was a means of educating themselves, and a means by or through which they also worshiped God. So they instructed themselves out of law. The synagogue was like a schoolroom. Not only did they instruct themselves, provided instruction to themselves, orally, because everyone didn't have a copy of the law to carry around with them. They also worshiped according to that law. Right, right. And that's the point he's going to make here. They pride themselves in all of these things, but they're not really doers of the law. Now, it doesn't mean that they don't do some of the things contained in the law. They did. But Paul had just pointed out, so did the Gentiles do some of the things contained in the law.
Sunday evening, Wednesday, and hear you preaching for years, they'll sit and not move a muscle to be saved.
Yeah.
They're just hearers of the law.
Yeah. And we too can be hearers, as James speaks of in James 1:22 and follow. Don't be hearers of law only, but doers of law. That is the law of Christ, law of liberty. You know, we can be hearers. Instead of doing what the law requires of us, we could be like the Jews of this time period. We can be boastful and prideful in the fact that we're members of the Lord's church, the only church, that we worship every first day of the week. We attend Bible class on Wednesday night. We give in the contribution every Lord's Day. We take a Lord's Supper. We pride ourselves in doing these things. We glory in the fact that we do these things, but we don't do all that the law requires. That is the law of liberty, the gospel of Christ requires. So note this, being instructed out of law. Then verse 19, we have the seventh verb, and are confident that you yourselves are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. Are confident. That means they rely on, they trust in, they depend on, they have complete confidence in the fact that the Jews themselves are a guide to the blind. A guide, a leader, someone who shows the way by leading and advising others. They were a guide to the blind. The blind under consideration are those who cannot see. Not physically, but mentally and spiritually. They have a lack of perception, a lack of understanding. They can't see what God requires in their life. So the Jew is a guide to those who are spiritually blind. Those who are intellectually and mentally blind. They guide them and lead them along. They're confident that they're guides of the blind. Not only that, they're a light to those who are in darkness. A light, metaphorically. That is, they dispense moral and spiritual light. They're moral teachers. They're a light. They show people how to conduct themselves. So they're a light to those who are in darkness. Those who are in spiritual ignorance. Those who are in error. Those who are in sin. Jude didn't see himself as being in sin. Didn't see himself as being in spiritual darkness, spiritual ignorance. But the Jew saw the Gentile, saw all others like that. But these are things that they prided themselves in. Going on in verse 20. An instructor. That is a person whose occupation is teaching. An instructor of the foolish. That is the unwise. Refers to those who act foolishly because they do not use their potential for understanding. So the Jews saw themselves as instructors or teachers of the foolish. Also a teacher of babes. Babes here is metaphorically used. For the simple, the innocent, those who have a lack of knowledge in regard to spiritual matters. So they saw themselves not only as instructors of the foolish, but teachers of babes. Know this, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. Having a form of knowledge. A form is like the law itself being a form or pattern of knowledge and the truth. They had that contained in their written and codified law, the law of Moses. It was all they needed. It was all they needed. They thought being possessors of it was all that was required. But it was not. They needed to be doers of it. And so now in verse 21 through verse 23, Paul is going to ask a series of rhetorical questions that show the follies of the claims of the Jew. So what we've seen, beginning in verse 17, is the boastful remarks of the Jew. They're called a Jew. They rest on the law. They make their boast in God. They know His will, approve the things that are excellent, are confident that they're guides to the blind and lights to those who are in darkness. They're instructors of the foolish and a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and of truth in the law. And then he begins to ask a series of rhetorical questions, and we're out of time. And the rhetorical questions, of course, have an answer to them. They're rhetorical questions, that is, they're simply used to teach a point, to make a point. And we'll look at those next Wednesday evening. Any other questions or comments this evening? Well, thank you very much. You've been good listeners this evening. Appreciate your comments. We'll pick up here then at verse 21 next Wednesday evening.